around the room and I don't see people, and I look around, I see them over there, not where they normally sit. Like, boo, what are you doing over there, boo? You're playing the musical chairs. It's good to see isn't it good to see PJ and Chrissy back with us today? He had a bad break in his leg and he's been going through rehab and healing, and he's here back ready to battle the enemy. Okay? And in fact, he's been battling the enemy. Okay? It's good to have Steve and his family with us today. Some of you may remember Steve from the old church, but Steve over there. Oh, wow. Jesus. Now, when I say this, I really mean this. I'm not saying this as just something that preachers say, okay? You pray for your old pastor this morning, okay? I'm old, but I'm not that old, okay? I got a few kicks in me left. Maybe one or two. Cassandra, one or two. How many knows we all need each other? There's a time coming in your life, if you don't realize that, you will realize that. And you not only need people who tell you yes, you need people who tell you no. Of course, I'd rather have the yes. My kids always wanted the yes. And there were usually battles, sometimes, not, you know, horrible, but sometimes when we said no. And Becky, you have those, you have that up there this morning. I gave a quote. I appreciate those people who run that booth up there, because they're tuning in and listening in to and trying to, you know, pay attention to the word and trying to sync what is said with everything that we've given them. So it's a little bit tough, okay? A little bit tough. But this morning, I want you to turn in your Bible to the book of Psalm. This is one of the hidden scriptures in Bible, in the Word of God. And God sent me here this morning to encourage you. Okay? We all need encouragement, don't we? And going through times that we struggle, we were born struggling. We were born fighting. I shared that with Josh this week. Like to crack him up. We were born fighting. You don't realize that, do you? Your real instinct is to fight. You were born fighting. Your mother was fighting to get you here. Hello? Anybody with me today? Your mother fought a battle to get you on this planet. Did she not? If your mom here, you know what I'm talking about. Don't act like I'm preaching Greek this morning. You know what I'm talking about. You battled the very you hung on and you battled to get that child here on this planet. You battled through pain and discomfort and hurt. You battled that to get your child here on this earth. Your child battled getting out of the womb. There was a battle right there that took place. There's a battle there. And there's a quote right there. There's a quote. You get that quote? Okay. Yes. Thank you, Beck. I appreciate that. And then you can go back to that. I want you to see this right here. There's no crown without a cross. There's no crown without this. We want this, but we don't want that. This, we wear this. I've got one, and we put them on our walls as a glorious thing. It did a glorious work, but there's nothing glorious about the cross. It's full of pain and shame and hurt and sacrifice. That's tough. That's hard. That's a battlefield. That's a battlefield. We're all battling something in this morning. I would say this without any reservation. Every person, and now that's a big statement. Everyone in this room today is battling something. Will you agree with me? How about it, Caleb? Are we battling something? Are we battling something? Are we battling something? We're battling something. We're battling something. We're all battling something. There's no crown without a cross. There's no joy without some sorrow. And there is no victory without a battle. I said, there's no victory without a battle. How can you know victory unless you've come through the battle? How can you know faith unless you've overcome fear and met fear right on? How can you know true victory without fighting and overcoming in your battle? The truth is, we're all battling something this morning. We're all battling something. Yes, we're all battling something. We're all battling something. And any course we're setting for your life, any course we're setting will take you through some battlefields in this life. In fact, we associate Jesus sometimes with just, we think of Jesus as just good times and Jesus giving me always what I want. Which Jesus is that? That's not the Jesus I read about in the scripture. In fact, in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, I did not come to give you. This is a paradox right here. Jesus is the peace giver. How many knows that? He's the peace giver. He's the one that calms the storms. He's the one that speaks peace into the storm. But Jesus in Matthew chapter 10 quotes a paradox that confuses our mind in one sense. Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace, but I come to bring the sword. In other words, when you come into this walk of life and you embrace the cross, you embrace Jesus, there is a battle you're going to fight. There's a battle you're going to fight. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you with me? You're going to fight a battle. You're going to fight a battle. You're going to fight a battle. You know what? Yes, there is peace in the midst of the storm. There is strength that God gives you. Boy, I feel an anointing this morning. I feel just suddenly a heaviness on my limbs this morning. I tell you what, there's a presence of the Holy Ghost here in this room this morning. And Isaiah 10 says, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. So I pray every yoke be broken. We're all battling something. But know this, whatever challenges you see down the road, victory is ours, victory is yours. If, oh, everybody shout if. Everybody shout if. If you don't turn back in the day of your battle. If you don't turn back in the day of your battle. God called the believer to keep pressing forward. To keep pressing forward. I know you've heard me say that so many times that many of you don't. It's getting so that probably some of you don't even grasp that anymore. But we've got to embrace that. The further we press into the coming of the Lord, the more intense the battle will get. Do you hear what I'm saying? The more we press toward the mark, the more we press toward the target, the more we press toward our goal, the more intense the battle gets. You know, right before victory becomes an intense time of fighting, a fierce time of fighting. We've got to realize that we can't stop in the day of your battle, because some of you here are battling different levels and different things this morning. But I wanted to turn to the book of Psalm, and I want to talk about that battle this morning, okay? There's a battle. Everybody say battle. You're in a battle. You're in a battle. You're in a battle. You're in a battle. And if you're honest with me this morning, you already know the battle you've been fighting or that you're in right now. Some of us are fighting battles in our family. Well, that's very true of the gospel too, because Jesus said everybody is not going to be for you. In that same chapter of Matthew, he says, you can't even really take your cross and follow me unless you can identify that this sword brings separation. Everybody's not going to be on your boat. Everybody's not going to cheer you on. Not even your family's going to understand you. Not even your family will embrace the idea of the cross. Some of your family will try to get you to turn back. Some of them will say you're too fanatical, or you're too crazy, or that's not what God meant, or that's insane. You don't follow Jesus. You just go to church every now and then. That'll work out. That'll be just fine. Listen, following Jesus is an everyday, 24-hour day thing. It's not just a once a month or once on Sunday encounter. Paul says it's a death every day. It's dying a death every day. Dying a death to self. And there's a battle that we fight. We battle ourselves. Well, you mean, how can I battle myself? The one you get up and look in the mirror this morning, that's probably the greatest battle that you have, is yourself. Getting here this morning was a battle. Let me ask you this. Do you battle going to Walmart? No, you just get in the car, just go to Walmart. You just take that shopping cart, boom, right down Walmart. Listen, there's no battlefield in your mind going on. You may be thinking about grocery lists and feeding the kids and what to get, but you're not battling the devil. You're not battling the devil there. You're not battling whether to go Walmart or not. You're not battling whether I should be about this or not. No, that doesn't happen. But it happens when it comes to your opportunity to worship and get in God's word. There's always going to be a battle fighting against you. Because Paul says in Romans 7, for me to will is one thing, but for me to be about, that is another thing. He said, I find another battle going on in my mind. He said in the 7th chapter of Romans, I find a battle going on in my mind. The battle against myself. He says, the things that I want to do are the things I have the most difficulty doing. Are you with me today? The things I should do are the things that are the most difficult for me to do. Listen, we don't have a battle in the things, the worldly realm of things in this walk of life. That's what I was just trying to say. But when it comes to the spiritual, which is our most real existence, is in the spirit. You're more spirit than you are flesh. You just don't realize that, because you're wrapped up in flesh. But you got to realize this flesh is going to die. It's going to wither. It's going to go back to the dust. But your spirit's going to go on. So there's a battle. Paul says, the things that I do, the things that I would do or need to do, are the things I find myself not doing. And the things that I don't want to do, those are the things I find myself doing. In other words, I give in sometimes into the battle and do what my mind wants to do. Do what my flesh wants to do. Anybody real here today? How many always do what God wants you to do?
I want to see how many. I better back this up. You better watch what you say now here. How many always do? Well, let me say this the right way. I got an English teacher right here looking at me. How many always does what you always need to do? Oh, okay. All right. Bunch of honest people here today. Then God doesn't need to preach online. Then the fact is, we all know that there is a battle. That's a battlefield. Do you understand? That's a battlefield. So this morning in the 78th chapter or book of Psalm, we're going to read about a tribe. And this tribe was one of the original tribes, one of the original sons of Jacob. And he was born, and the purpose of this tribe was to battle and to fight. To battle and to fight. That was its destiny. We have destiny today. We were born in this earth to fight. I was born fighting. I was born fighting to get out of my mother's womb. And my mother has a picture, or she's no longer here on the earth, but gave me a picture of me. Just like Juwan, I might need your help here just in a minute. So I hope you're proactive, brother, because I don't know anything about boxing. But according to all resources, you were a boxer at one time, okay? So I may need your help just in a minute. But I was born, and there's this one picture of this little baby. I don't know me. I don't know if Kathy remembers this. I don't know if my children even seen it. I was born. I don't know how old I was. I wasn't very old. But there's this blanket covering my head, and I got my head poking out. I got my head poking out. And my head poking out, I got my fist held up like that. I was born to fight. I was born to fight. I was born to fight. I was born to battle. I've been battling all my life. I fought craziness when I was a child. I fought against craziness when I was a child. I fought against craziness when I was a child. I was born fighting, and I'm still fighting. One battle I'm having this morning is to keep you with me. I don't mean that in a bad way. I just meant because sometimes it's really hard to keep all the troops on the battlefield at the same time. Because in militaristically speaking, then there's through battles of that real warriors, real soldiers go through in life. And those who are here served, you know these terms. We have the term MIA. How many's ever heard of an MIA before? Can you tell me what an MIA is? He's missing in action. That means he's not present on the field of battle. He's missing somewhere. You can't find him. If this is a time that we need to stick together as a church, as the body of Christ, it would be right now, my friend. Do you understand? You know, one of the hardest battles that I fight as a pastor today is to keep people focused. To keep people focused. To keep people on the page. To keep people focused. To keep people on the battlefield. Do you know when you're not on the battlefield, your comrades in arms are having to pull extra weight in order to keep the battle pressing forward? Do you realize that? When you're missing, somebody else is fighting in your spot. MIA. You don't want to be an MIA today. You don't want to be missing when the action is going on. The Bible says when Jesus returns to the earth, he wants to find those who have faith. He wants to find faith present when he comes to the earth. He doesn't find perfection in meaning that you don't have fault or flaws, but he just wants to find your faith looking upward when he comes, because Jesus is looking for a bride who is looking for his coming. Amen. And then you have, I'll get to the text. I promise I'm going to get to the text. Then you have those who are AWOL. How many's ever heard that before? I had a cousin AWOL one time, and he was actually running from the government. He was from the northern part of the United States, and he came down and he left without permission. He just took off. He just took off. He just took off. He just took off. He just left his post. He left his position. He left his rank. He just left. He didn't tell anybody he was leaving. He just got his stuff, got in his car, and took right off. I can't even imagine myself doing that, because I'm leaving people I love behind. I'm leaving people I love behind. I'm leaving people that I've fought beside. I'm leaving people that I've been in the trenches with. I'm leaving people that I've trained and exercised with. I'm leaving people behind. Away. You know what AWOL means? Away without leave. In other words, you didn't get permission. God didn't give you permission to leave your post of battle. God didn't give you permission. Listen, if we leave, we just leave in our own strength, in our own mind. We leave, but sometimes don't people leave on the field of battle? Don't people leave on the field of battle? At one time in U.S. military history, and it's still punishable by court-martial. It's still punishable by court-martial. But understand this. Today, it's very important to remember this. There are people who live the battlefield, and they just leave. They call it desertion. They just call it leaving without permission. They just leave. And when the battle gets intense, that's when people, listen, battle hard in their mind. Do I want to die here? Do I want to die in this place? And sometimes courage doesn't push through. And sometimes they only relent and move back, or they run in fear. We can all be that way in our life. We all don't leave because we hate God. We all don't leave our post or position because we're mad at God. We all necessarily don't leave because we're mad at somebody else. Sometimes we just leave because life gets hard. How many knows that life gets hard? Life gets hard. Are there real people here today with me? Listen, not plastic people sitting there like little plastic walnuts. Listen, how many knows that life gets hard? Can you put that one up? Of the great fighter Rocky Balboa. Find that one, Sister Becky. Thank you so much. Life is not about how hard you hit. You know, I've seen a lot of people get into this battle fighting hard. Listen, I'm 65 years of age. I've been in ministry over 45 years. Upward toward 50. You wouldn't believe the people I've seen come. And the people I've seen gone. You wouldn't believe the people I've seen start out with Kathy and I in battle. You wouldn't believe the people I've seen start out on the battlefield with us together. Today, many of those people are missing. They may have relocated, and that's fine. God does that. But sometimes these people just leave the field of battle. They leave the field of battle because they've been hit hard. It's not how hard you punch. It's not how hard you punch. Life is not about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving. Amen. Are you with me? Are you with me? It's how many times you get knocked down, and each time you get up and you keep moving forward. You don't bow to your failure. Some people leave the battlefield on the place called failure. I failed you, God. I've disappointed you. Can I name one important one? His name was Peter. We all know Peter the Rock, right? Jesus called him, changed his name from Simon to the Rock, from a stone to a rock. Jesus gave him the name the Rock. Peter didn't name himself the Rock like whatever it's the wrestling dude's called. I don't know. Johnson, is that his name? I believe that's one of his shirts. I don't know. Oh, Jesus. But Peter, who on the battlefield, when it was crucial with Jesus, on the battlefield, when it was crucial with Jesus, and the Lord's taking me in a different direction. So, guys, I'm just right now flowing in the current right now. Listen, I'm just flowing in the current. I'm just flowing. It don't sound anything like what I thought it was going to be like, but that I'm flowing, just flowing with God. Is it okay to just flow with God this morning? Is it okay? But Peter, one time when Jesus said, "Whom do men say that I am?" And everybody had an answer. One Jeremiah, one Elias, and one of them said, "Some of the other prophets." You're one of the other prophets, reincarnated. And he looked at Peter and he said, "Peter, whom do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "Why, Jesus, you're the Christ. You're the Son of David. You're the Christ. You're the only begotten Son of God. I know why you've come." And Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Listen, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed this to you." And because of that revelation, Peter, up on that rock, there's something more powerful than this concrete that Kevin and his brothers laid a few years ago. And it's really strong. It's really strong. But there's something stronger than the earth that you stand on. There's something that will get you through the hurricanes. There's something that will get you through the storms. There's something that will get you through the deaths and tragedies of this life. You know what that something is? That something is someone, and his name is Jesus. Everybody shout Jesus. Upon this rock, all other is sinking sand. Upon this rock, I will surely stand. When all fails me, Christ will not fail me. When all is gone, I still have Jesus, a firm foundation, mighty and strong. Hallelujah. Somebody should have written that down. That was prophetic. I'm not kidding. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven, upon this rock I will build my church, and not even the gates, not even the winds, not even the storms of hell shall come against it, because there's no other foundation that can be laid except laid upon Jesus. So whatever battle you're on, just know that you're not alone. There's one who fights for you. Cassandra, stand up. I want you to stretch your hands toward this young lady right here. Stretch your hands toward her right now. Everybody in here, stretch your hands toward her right now. And in the name of Jesus, we pray for victory. God just hasn't let me leave that. I'm sorry. This is a little bit odd. We don't usually do this. Come on, I want you to pray. And I want you to stretch your hand toward her. I want you to pray. God, impart powerful revelation and strength and courage to keep pressing forward in the moment of her battle. In the moment of her battle. In Jesus' name, we believe that. We have that which we ask, because we ask it in the name above every name. The name of Jesus. Can everybody shout yes and give him praise? Jesus. Lord, what have you got me into? In Psalm 78, Ephraim, everybody say Ephraim. It was one of the tribes, one of the children of, but one of the tribes of Jacob. And it was a warring tribe. And one of the primary specific emphasis or focuses of this tribe, or duties or responsibilities of this tribe was to guard the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark was the presence of God. You know, we're all Ephraimites in that sense. Our responsibility is to guard the holy presence of God. Listen, sometimes we treat these encounters as just another day at the office. This encounter today is not just another day at the office. You're sitting in the presence of Jehovah, the presence of God Almighty. You're sitting in the presence of Jesus. And our responsibility is to guard that presence. Don't compromise it. Don't give it up. The devil will battle you there. He'll battle you there. That's why it's hard for you to get to the place of worship on Sunday, because the devil wants to battle you there. Do you understand that? We get up and go to our jobs. The devil don't care where you work. He don't care how hard you work. He don't care how much money you make. But he does care how much you worship. He cares about that on a personal level every day. We don't just wait till Sunday to worship God. Our life is a lifestyle of worship, because that's one of our weapons of our warfare. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. I promise you I'm gonna get to the text. Oh, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down or the demolishing of strongholds. Ephesians chapter 6, he says, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil or devices of the devil. Because he's out to meet you on the field of battle. He's already opposing you. He's against you. He is not for you. God's for you. The devil is against you. We say, Lord, I've never had so many battles. I'd like to have a nickel for every time I've heard this. We could probably pay off this property right here. Lord, I didn't have this many battles when I was in the world. I didn't have this many battles when I was fighting, or when I was out there in the world. First of all, the world had you. So why does the devil need to fight against someone he's already got? To listen, it's when you broke sides with darkness, you broke sides with evil, that's when the devil set himself to oppose you and God's purpose in your life. Sometimes we think that with these battles, which are intense, or tremendously intense, and I see so many people get to that place and they get discouraged and they start backpedaling. You know, they get to the place of difficulty and they say, you know, it's too tough. It's too tough. I don't think I can go on. You got to realize that you're not fighting this battle in your own strength. You're fighting this in God's strength. It's God strong in you that's helping you fight. In your weaknesses, that's where his strength is made perfect. In your weaknesses. Do you have weaknesses? Yes. You have all kinds of weaknesses. But in weaknesses, God's strength is made perfect. God goes with you and fighting in you, giving you the resources, giving you the strength to fight against the enemy. In fact, if you read the scripture and you believe this to be true, God really does birth us spiritually to set us in the middle of a battlefield. God knows that we're going to fight a battle, but he also knows you're not going to fight this alone. He says, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. Listen, you've got some fair weather friends who are there in the sunshine, but let the storm come, let the turbulence come, you'll see how many real friends you really got. Amen. Everybody say true friend. But Jesus is a true friend. He doesn't AWOL on the field of battle. He doesn't desert you on the field of battle. He doesn't leave on the field of battle. God's your constant friend, your constant help. In fact, he's a present help in the time of your struggle, your battle. Do you believe that? Lord, help us today to know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So Jesus has already fought that battle and won that battle for us. He's already fought the battle. He's won. He won over death, hell, and the grave. Let me tell you some strange weapons of warfare that Jesus used against the devil. Let's start with 3 nails. Oh, those are not weapons. Pastor, you can't defeat armies with nails. You can't defeat a devil who is bent for destruction with nails. Come on, Pastor R. You've got to get more real than that. You've got to get more serious than that. Oh, when Jesus came, he didn't necessarily come riding up on a war horse. I love that, Jenny. I love that war horse. And if the Lord bless me, I want to talk just a minute about it. But listen, Jesus came riding up on a lowly donkey. Amen. He came into Jerusalem shouting, and they shouted his praises because he knew where the real battlefield was. He knew how to conquer the enemy. You know how Jesus conquered a world of darkness? With one word. It's called love. Everybody shout love. Oh, Jesus. Oh, wow. You got to be serious, Pastor R. You don't win a battle with 3 nails and love. Come on. Jesus says, you know how you can conquer your enemies? Love them. Love them to pieces. Love them into misery. Love them. Love them out of their sin. Love them out of their confusion. Love them. Just love them. Love them. Love them. Love them. Everybody shout love. You don't fight a real army in a real war with love. Jesus did. And he's placed that love within each of us. He said to love one another. Love will cover a multitude of sins. Love. Those born of God are born of love. It's not hard for us. Oh, you say, well, Pastor, it's just hard for me to love people sometimes. I know that. I get that. Because I deal with knuckleheads all the time. So do you. And I'm not being mean by that. I've been a knucklehead. And you probably called me under your breath a knucklehead a few times. If you'll be real. Love. Everybody shout love. What a weapon of warfare. God commended his love toward us. While we were sinners, Christ died, Kathy, for the sinner. Jesus died. You want to know one of the greatest weapons of warfare The Lord used in his battle over evil. It was called the cross. And they say the cross. The cross. Come here, Jack. It's a powerful message in this cross. Can you hold that cross for me, brother? There's two timbers. When Jesus marched up the Via Dolorosa trail, he carried this part. It's called the platinum. It's 110 pounds of heavy hewn timber. He carried that on a beaten back with tendons and muscles ripped from his back. Oh, Jesus battled. Don't you think that Jesus didn't battle? Jesus battled for your welfare at a place called the hitching post. When most men should have died, he didn't give up in his day of battle, Kathy. He stood there and he took 39 lashes that would have laid most people in the dust. But every time he looked down and he saw you, Mr. Steve, he saw you. He saw you having no way. He saw you having no health, Rick. He saw you needing his healing. What's that five, brother? Come on. That was a wimpy five. There you go. Amen. Jesus did not turn back in the day of his battle. Jesus marched onto the field of battle. And he'll say, I'm not coming off this battlefield until it's finished. I'm not leaving this post until it's finished. I'm not leaving my position until it's finished. So he took 39 lashes. I'm serious, friend. It was called a cat of nine tails. It was one of the most crude forms of torture you can imagine. And these strands of leather was embedded steel, rock, jagged rock, and glass. Anything that would tear or dismember the flesh. Oh, you got to listen to what I'm saying. We got to wake up. We got to wake up. We got to wake up and realize that somebody didn't leave the battlefield. And you're going to leave the battlefield? You're going to leave without permission? You're going to leave your post that God destined and purposed for you to walk in? You say, Pastor Art, but you don't understand what I've been going through. Can I be honest? I don't. I don't understand. I don't understand all there is to know about depression. Even though I was close to it. My wife suffered some of the darkest days in her life on a battlefield called depression. She fought suicide. She fought just the strength to get up and go each day. She fought back the tears. She fought normalcy. She fought just to be there with her kids. There were times that I just about had to drag her, extract her from a room of darkness. Can I say this? God didn't leave her. He didn't leave her, Frida. He didn't leave her. He's not left you. Oh, but where is he, Lord? Where are you? Have we ever done that before? Have we ever in our battle said, Lord, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? That's the temptation to desert your post. When we feel that God isn't near, but he's always near. But he didn't stop at the hitching post. That was a place of battle. You know why those stripes were important? I bet you don't even know. Isaiah 53:5. By his stripes, we were healed. You know, Jesus had to fight that battle for your healing. The healing of your mind, the healing of your emotions, the healing of your spirit, and the healing of your broken limbs. He had to fight that battle. He didn't give up. You know what? This is scripture. The Bible says he could have left and he could have called legions of angels to say, come and get me, Father. I'm done. But he didn't stop. And upon him was laid the iniquity of Saul. And they took that 110 pound that would at the top of the hill be attached to an upright. And there they would hang his body like an animal and pierce his hands and his feet and tie him to a tree. Openly shamed before men. And he didn't come down. He stayed on the battlefield. Hey, oh, we want to leave the battlefield when somebody talks about us. We want to leave the battlefield when somebody don't look at us right. We want to leave the battlefield when life gets a little tiresome, when the kids get tiresome, our job gets tiresome, you know, struggle gets tiresome. We want to leave the battlefield. But can I encourage you? The one who stood for you is the one who stands with you. Amen. Go forward in your battle. Don't turn back. Peter said, where would I go, Lord? And John 6, when on the field of battle, Jesus was talking about the difficulties ahead. God knows there's going to be difficulties ahead. He knew this when you get into it, okay? He knew, Trish, you're going to be difficulties. Every day is not going to be sunshine and roses. Every day you're not going to get up just, woo, man, Jesus. I'm just going to knock the world out today. There are times you get up, you feel like the world has knocked you out. If you'll be real, there are times that you don't want to go when you know you should go. There are times that you need to be strong and you know, God, if I have an ounce of strength left in me, let me know it right now. John 6, Jesus said, he gave the discourse about the bread and the blood. He was talking about the rough days ahead. Eating my flesh and drinking my blood. Whoa, now, wait just a minute, Pastor. I didn't know anything about cannibalism. Guess what? That's what some of his disciples thought. When he gave the discourse on the blood and the bread, drinking my blood and eating my body, which is the bread, they thought he meant that. But let me tell you, the Bible said that very moment, many of them turned and walked away because it got too hot on the battlefield. And Jesus looked at Peter again. Here we go with Peter again. Peter, will you also go? And when Jesus looked at Peter, he knew what Peter was going to do up the road. He knew Peter was going to deny him three times. He knew that Peter was going to turn tail and walk off. He knew that. He knew that. He knew that when he told Peter before, listen, Peter, you'll deny me three times before the cock crows. You'll deny me three times. Peter said, no, I won't ever deny you, Jesus. And we all get into this following Jesus, saying, I'll never turn back. I'll never do anything else. Oh, but let's be real. Life gets hard. The battle gets fierce. And sometimes warriors' arms get heavy and their hearts get heavy. I'm going to say something to you right now. I've never fought the battle any harder than I have in the last few years. And I told somebody this week, at my age, you think, well, old Pastor R, He needs to be out. He needs to be retired, out eating in the pasture. He needs to be playing 18 holes of golf every day. All right, he needs to be out, you know. And I'm not saying anything wrong with golf, Jeff, okay? You know, nothing wrong with that. But I'm just saying, and there's nothing wrong with pastors playing golf or relaxing and doing those things. But let me tell you something. God didn't call me to resign on the field of golf. God called me to retire on the field of battle. And when God takes me home, that will be when I find my last battle. Woo! I'm going to shout if nobody helps me. I'm going to shout if you don't help me. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach if you don't, amen. I'm going to go forward even if you don't do anything. You know what, Jason? I got my mind made up. I got my mind made up. Somebody say, I got my mind made up. Job's wife said, Job, you got too much going on. You got too much going on in your life. You're sick. You've lost your kids. You've lost your possessions. Everything's gone. Why don't you just curse God and die? He said, you're a fool. I know in whom I believe, and I know that one day I shall stand and my Redeemer I shall see for myself and not another. I'm not turning back. Are you turning back? Are you turning back? This is the time to fight. This is the time to fight. This is not the time to lay your sword down. So he went to fought another battle on a hill called Golgotha, the place of death. A lot of people die on that battlefield. Because if you look at the history of Rome, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people died on that field of battle. But nobody ever died like this man. And Reggie, nobody ever died like this man. So he laid himself. They didn't take his life. He gave his life. Somebody said, no, the devil just took Jesus. No, listen, he offered himself. He gave himself. Nobody would have ever taken this warrior if he had so resisted. Not even the armies of the earth could have taken that warrior had he resisted. But he laid his life down upon that platform. There they nailed him to the tree. With huge supports, they put this up on a tree. They put up on an upright. Now, this upright represents something. Where's it? Which direction is it pointing in? Upward. Oh, there's only one way you can go with Jesus, and that's upward. Amen. Oh, Jesus, I wish somebody would get this today. I wish somebody would get this like they're eating that chicken leg later and just say, that chicken's good. I wish somebody would get this word today just like, Lord, that's good. His love looked down to me when I couldn't look up. His love reached down to me from here to there when I couldn't reach up. He lifted me up out of the mire. His hand reached further down than I could reach up. Are you with me today? Do you know what I'm talking about? When you were reaching and you couldn't reach any further, God reached down and got a hold of you. And your craziness, boo. And my craziness, boo. He reached down and got me, revealed his love and grace to me. That's the way the cross. God so loved the world. God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whoever, are there any whoevers here today? I said, there are any whoevers today? Come on, are there any whoever's in the city of who today? Are there any who's in here? If you're a who, let me hear it. Who? Who says you can't have a good time and serve Jesus and worship and preach? How many says you can't have? Oh, you can't have a good time. Oh, yes, you can. I'm having a good time because somebody stayed on the battlefield for me. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. Yet he gave his life away. Who is it sings that song? Allie, is it you? His love toward us. And here's where the intersection is. This is where I found Jesus. This is where it changes. He gave me his love. And now, I can love the blemished. I can love the hopeless. I can love because he first loved me. Whoa. Jesus stayed there until next to the last words he said, "It's finished." Are you a finisher? Everybody, there's a lot of starters. Like the hare, you know, and the tortoise. Everybody starts out ablaze like they're on fire. Woo, Jesus. And it gets tough in the battle. And the battle gets fierce. And life gets complicated. And there's struggles. And there's issues. And there's problems. And there's life. All those things that come with life. Don't associate that with your service to God. Know true that it is because you know God that you do battle. But don't associate that as always God punishing you. It's a part of your DNA. You're a warrior. You're a fighter. Come up here, Juwan. Stand beside the cross. Remember these? Hello, hello, hello. Is everybody with me? Don't leave me now. Let me tell you, your pastor needs you on the field of battle with him. This is not the time to check out. How many remembers this? How many remembers these? Do you remember those? Do you remember them? Do you remember those? Hang on to that. That won't fit you. Don't even try to put it on. That wouldn't fit your two fingers. I was a lot younger when I wore those. And some of you may have not even seen them. But I'm going somewhere. Hang on. Let me read this. Ephraim in 78 Psalm in verse 9. Says the children of Ephraim were armed and carrying bows. They were armed. They had the tools. They had the weapons of warfare. They were fighters. They were fierce. Yet, they turned their backs and fled on the day of battle. Our greatest victory is ahead. But can I say this? Your greatest battle is ahead in front of you. Are you going to fight? Are you going to give up? Listen. If footmen tire you, if foot soldiers tire you and wear you out, if life issues, your washer, dryer breaking, listen, your children sick or this or that, or, you know, you're short on the bills a month, or, you know, if this problem happened, that problem happened, if those things wear you out and turn you back on the day of battle, what will you do when the horsemen come? What will you do when the real army shows up? Not just the scouts. What will you do? Those who stay in this battle will be among those who come back with Jesus one day when he's riding a white horse It's a real war horse. It's a real war horse. How many ever watched that movie by Spielberg, War Horse? It's a children's book. It's a children's book and inspired a movie by the famous director Steven Spielberg. And it was an awesome movie. And it was about a horse and his buddy Joy who died on the field of battle. But horses were used on the field of battle years ago. In World War I, they were vital. They pulled cannons. And in the Civil War and the Revolutionary War, they were vital. Generals and leadership charged into battle on their war horses. Those horses were trained not to turn back when enemy fire unloaded. When cannonballs exploded around them, they would die valiantly under their rider in the field of battle before they would turn and run away. They were trained, Jody. You know about horses. Most horses are timid and shy or spooky or scary. And when an explosion or heavy noise goes off, listen, you've been on those horses before. It's Katie bar the door, right? Hang on for dear life. But not these horses. These horses in the fierce of battle pressed on with their leader riding them. One day you and I are going to fight a battle with our King. He's going to wage wars against all the evil of the earth, and he's going to come back riding a white horse, and victory will finally be won. Amen. And those who will ride with him. I don't know about you. Do you want to ride with the one? Amen. Do you want to ride with him? Woo! Do you want to ride with him? I don't believe some of you got your mind made up. I believe you're sitting there thinking, I don't know if I'm going to ride or not. You better have your mind made up. Whose side you on? Whose side are you on? Well, I'm on Jesus' side when everything's good. Everything bad, I don't know. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke with all long suffering. Be there in sunshine, be there in rain. Keep fighting the fight. Keep your faith. That's what Paul said in Timothy. When this warrior, this valiant war horse, fought his last day on the battlefield. And he said to Timothy in chapter 4, he said, Timothy, the time of my departure is at hand. It's time for me to leave the field of battle. But I'm leaving this into your hands. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. One day when you leave this earth, what will be said of you? I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I didn't leave on the field of battle. I finished my course. That's what Paul said. Did he not, Mrs. R? Help me out here. Okay, we're tying the boat here. He said, I finished my course. I finished the battle. Now, Lord, it's time for me to go. You know what got Paul through that? He was beheaded. Wow, what a glorious way to leave, right? By an axeman's axe or sword. He was decapitated. Yet he knew in whom he believed. And he was persuaded that which he committed unto him that God was able to keep until that day. He did not give up. He did not turn back. He did not relent. He stayed on the field of battle. He fought. He fought. Ready to tie the boat right there with that, Juan. Hang on to that. I appreciate you guys' patience there. Hang on there just a second. Hang on. Wow. Jesus said, I love this scripture in Luke 9. When he was looking toward Jerusalem, looking to the future cross, looking to this battle, he said, I have set my face like a flint to go toward Jerusalem. In Isaiah 50, it says the same thing, Bree. I have set my face like a flint. I am determined that I will finish this battle. Are you determined to finish your battle today? Are you MIA? Are you missing? Are you missing today when God needs you? Can I be real with you this morning? Your pastors need you. Have you needed me before? Well, we need you. You think we're superhuman? You think you can just stick your hand through me? You know, we're not flesh and blood. We don't cry. We don't cry. We don't mourn. We don't weep. We don't walk the floors. We don't battle. We don't struggle with issues. We need each other. We need each other. We need each other. We need each other. I said, we need each other. Do you need each other? This is when you need your comrades. It's on the battlefield. When it gets intense, this is when we need to fight together. Everybody shout together. But this is what they did. Ephraim, for some reason, we don't know. The garters are the ones who were responsible for taking care of the ark, ensuring its safety. When the battle got fierce, in verse 9, the children of Ephraim were armed and carrying bows, yet they turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God, and they refused to walk according to his law. They turn back. I'm going to tell you this. And if you don't know this, you better check your eyesight. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is coming, friend. Oh, he's closer today than he was when I started this race. And I started this battle. And one day he'll split the eastern sky. And all those who know him shall be called up and changed and be with him. And those who have not been in the battle will remain here in this chaotic blitz of confusion and evil. Oh, I want to hang in there with Jesus. Amen. When Jesus comes, how many want to leave with him? Not everybody, right? Whoa, well, okay. Everybody should have jumped and shouted and done jumping jacks at least 10 times right there. I want to leave when you leave, Jesus. I want to go where you go, Jesus. I want to be there where you're there, Jesus. I want to be there. It's going to take great strength and courage. Passion to keep fighting this battle. When I was a kid, my dad, I promise him, this is tying the boat. My dad got me for Christmas a set of boxing gloves. They were 4 boxing gloves. He thought he could teach me how to fight. He didn't want me to grow up a wimp, okay? He wanted to teach me. Dad was a Theodore Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt. He was a real man. I mean, at 13 years of age, he was traveling across the country trying to be a cowboy. You know, he was that John Wayne type guy. He didn't care. But he bought me these boxing gloves. He says, I'm going to teach you how to fight. Although I didn't use it to the capability of what they were designed for. But I will say this. I did beat down a bully in school in the 7th grade with that. I don't want to brag. I didn't want to brag. But listen, this guy had my number all year long. He did. He had my number all year long. He was trying to mess with me all year long. And his name was John Henry. Okay, I'm sorry. That's the truth. That's the truth. I'm being real here. He bullied me, and he antagonized me. And I don't advocate this. You want to bleep this because I don't advocate this. But what I did, I remember my dad's boxing gloves he gave me. And this is what I did, Juan. I didn't know anything about fighting. I wasn't trained like you were. I didn't go to school. I didn't train or exercise in the arts of fighting, PJ. I didn't know anything about martial arts. I didn't know anything about all that stuff, Jason. I just knew that if I didn't stand against this dummy, then he was going to take me down. So what I did, I challenged him. I went and challenged him. I said, you want to fight me, right? You want to fight me? You want to fight me, right? Okay, so we're going to do it like gentlemen. I'm going to bring these boxing gloves. So in old school, Sal, I don't know about your school, but in old school, this is what we did. They made a circle around them, Reggie. And you got in the middle of that circle. You weren't coming out of that circle. And so I put those gloves on. And I told John Henry to put his gloves on. Listen, you know what it was? It was enthusiasm and passion and pure desire that got me out of the middle of that circle. And you know what I did? I fought my way out. And the last I knew, John Henry was down on the ground. And little skinny, scrawny Jeff was victorious because I had beat the bully finally. How many know there's a day coming when the real bully is going down? Oh, you missed that. You missed that. I said there's a day coming when the real bully is going down. It's those that keep their gloves on and fight your way out. You don't take your gloves off for nobody. You stay in the ring and you fight until you can't fight. When you can't fight, there's an elder brother that'll get under you and lift you up and give you strength to keep fighting. He'll give you strength to keep fighting. Don't you down quit. Don't you let life, don't you let this or that take you down. You get back up. Watch the man. Come on. Hang on to that man. Some of you in the room, the Lord says, some of you have taken your gloves off. Some of you have taken your gloves off. Some of you have laid your swords down. In 2 Samuel 23, be like Eleazar. Cleave to the sword. Don't put it down until the last Philistine is gone. I hate to model such violence as a pastor, but as a 12-year-old boy, I wasn't going to let any bully take me down. I was going to fight. Are you going to fight? Well, I don't want to do that anymore. I just got my feelings hurt. Oh, Jesus. I quit years and decades ago if I had quit because I got my feelings hurt. Can I tell you something? I get my feelings hurt daily. Weekly, I get my feelings hurt. When I go through doors and just want to love people, just people say, I don't know him. Oh. When I walk up to people I poured into and I've loved for decades, I've married their kids. Listen, I've baptized them. I've seen them saved. I've seen them. I've seen God move in their lives. And when they see me, they walk the other way like they don't even know me. Let me tell you something about getting your feelings hurt. And I ain't gonna quit because I get my feelings hurt. Can you quit because you get your feelings hurt, Rick? For real? Oh, Jesus. I'll tell you another story about those boxing gloves later, but we don't have time. Today is your day to get up and go forward in the day of battle. You say, Pastor, Get up and go forward in the day of battle. Fight harder today than you did yesterday. Don't give up. Keep those gloves on. Whatever you're going through, God will get you through. Whatever grace has brought you to, His grace will get you through. That was a word for you. Whatever His grace brings you to, whatever battle, He will get you through. Sometimes all you got to do is just stand still and say, God, I don't have another punch in me. And He says, just watch out. Let me do some punching for you, okay? I've had that happen, Pam. I've had the Lord knock down some bullies for me. When I couldn't knock him any further, the Lord did. So today, if you aren't willing to fight for what you believe in, don't get in the ring. Oh, well, just forget who wrote that or said that. I didn't even see that. Oh, Jesus. I'm sorry, I didn't know that was there. Don't get religious on me. Yeah.
Madonna had a moment.
She did have a moment. How many knows that God loves her just like He does everybody else? Come on, don't give her. Jesus has got a sense of humor. I just know that He had that in there. Are you ready to keep going forward, Stephanie, in your day of battle? Are you ready to go forward, Amanda, in your day of battle? This is a time to fight. This is a time not to give up, Sister Rubel. This is a time to go forward. This is a time to get to battle station and keep fighting like you've never fought before. So if you're ready to fight, this is the way this is coming down. If you're ready to fight, I'm getting ready to ask you to get up. And when you get up, I'm going to ask you to take a step like you're stepping back into the ring. How do you do that fancy stuff? Come on, man. How do you? I don't know. How do you do that fancy footwork? Come on, man. I don't know how you do it. You got to have your dog. Come here, Reggie. Come here, Reggie. I don't want to embarrass you, Reggie. You're shy as the day is long, okay? Hey. Sister Frieda, you guys are going to let me know if he says anything, okay? Now it's easier to do that fancy footwork. Come on. Do some fancy footwork just like he's in the ring. Hey, no. You don't want to box each other. No. I'm sorry. Hey, I know you're great, Becky. You're good. You're really good. I want you to get the theme song when Rocky gets back up. I don't even know what that's called. I just feel by the Holy Spirit we got to do that. What's it called? Is that what it's called? Okay. Oh, I don't know any tigers in the Bible, but I do know a lion. He's called the Lion of Judah. Amen? Do you know any lions? Do you know any lions? Not the Detroit Lions, but do you know any lions? I know one, and his name is Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's roaring today in some of his people. He's roaring. He's saying, get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. Don't stay down. Get up. Get up. You got punches in you. You got punches in you. Did you give up on this one? No. Look where she's sitting today. You know why? Because you didn't give up. Is your youngins here? Right back there's one. The other one should be here. Oh, that was another one right back there. forward. This is the time to go forward in your battle. Don't turn back. Did you find it, Becky? Now I want you to sit back down. You're tying the boat. Cuffs. Mel, is this okay? Is this okay? Is this okay? Is this okay, Mrs. R? Okay, let me tell you. When you hear the song, you do like Rocky does. Because let me say this. Don't leave me now. Don't you dare leave me now. Don't you leave me while I'm in the ring punching with all my might. Fried chicken will be there. Fish will be there. That'll be there. Don't you leave me now. Listen. Some of you are here on your knees. You've been beat down. You've been beat down. Some of you are here. And somebody's standing over you counting. One, two. Don't let him get to 10. It's time for you to get up. Get your fight back. Get your battle back. Some of you have been hit so hard, you're out. You're trying to keep your composure. You're running to the ropes. You're tied up in the ropes. You keep taking punches. You keep taking licks. You keep saying, well, if it ain't one thing, it's another. Just keeps beating you. You're trying to wait for the bell. Oh, I wish we had that bell wheel. You're just trying to wait for the bell. Get your hands up and you keep fighting. Did you find it, Becky? Becky, did you find it? All right, ready. There's a Mick in your corner saying, come on, Rocky. You got another punch. I know, Jack, this may not make any sense to you. Just talk to the Holy Ghost, okay? But if you're here today, and you're down, and you're discouraged, and you're fighting life, and life wants to take you out, this is your time to get up. Is that it? He was down for the out. This is what play would play. And this is where he took his courage and got back up and got his legs, got his arms, got back into the ring and started punching the bully again. God says, today you get up and you fight like you've never fought before. See some of you clap like you don't have five. No. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Are you ready to fight? Are you ready to fight? I said, are you ready to fight? Get your hands in the air. Let's pray to the Lord right now. Mrs. R, I want you to come. I want you to pray an impartation of strength today. With the eyes, don't take your arms down. Listen, If your arms get heavy 3 seconds, what are you going to do when you're fighting the battle of your life? Come up here, Mrs. R. I want you to pray a prayer of impartation. If you're here today and you don't.